Well, praise you, Jesus. Got some good testimonies coming up, not maybe this service, but we'll enjoy hearing one Sunday. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just worship God with me just a little bit more? Praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. You're so worthy to receive praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. I'm going to share a little bit, and then we're going to watch something a little bit later, and of course, we'll have you out of here at usual time, unless revival breaks. Amen. And amen. Glory. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalms 119, and of course, somebody will probably go there now, but if you'll just listen for a moment, we're going to read a particular, obviously, a passage out of there, a verse. I love Psalms 119. I think it's probably one of my favorite psalms, and I say that I've got several favorite psalms, but, you know, it's the longest of all of them, 176 verses, and every verse, I think every verse, maybe there might be one or two, but every verse has something to do with the Word of God, whether it's precepts, your meditations, your statutes, your laws. And it's a repetitive psalm, and the academics really don't matter so much about you know what I'm going to say, but it's interesting. It's introduced by each stanza is introduced by a different alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet. And so they go through, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's 22. We've got, 26? And they've got 22 letters. But every stanza, which would be made up of several verses, starts out with their A and goes all the way through to whatever their last letter is. So it's pretty wonderful psalms. It's there's so many verses that I love and that have been a part of my heart for years. You find the one, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto the Word of God. In other words, if you walk in the Word of God, you'll walk in cleanliness. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing, that's another one in there, nothing shall offend them. If you're walking in the fullness of his statutes, his law, and meditating, you'll fulfill the royal law of liberty. You'll fulfill some of that wonderful teaching that Homer was doing last week. And I won't go into it now, but man, I went over that message, and then I was rejoicing in it, but I wanted to go to the Greek and find out something about what he was saying. And man, he nailed it in the Greek, and I called him. I said, did you know this? Did you get this out of the Greek? And he goes, no, I didn't know that. I said, well, let me tell you what this word means. And it was incredible. We'll share that later, but it was pretty neat. How many of you thank God for praying in tongues? It's just so wonderful. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Oh, Holy Ghost, I know you're God, but I thank God for that aspect of praying in tongues. What a wonderful gift God gave us. But let's look at Psalms 119. You know, I could just start from the beginning and move forward, but I just, for sake of time, because we do want to watch something a little bit as a sake of an advertisement, really, more than anything else. But verse 124 says, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. And this is the part that I really am bringing to attention right now. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law. And that's, you know, you can include that. But, and obviously you would, because it's part of that particular verse. But I always, through the years, as I've meditated this psalm many, many times, I've always, for some reason, had a little chuckle when I read verse 128, because it's almost like the psalmist is so full of God, he's so full of his word and the expectation of the Lord, that he takes the opportunity to coach God up. It's like he's coaching God up. He's like, it's time for you to work now. How many of you ever been to the point where you've been through a whole bunch and you're not getting on to God, but you're like, okay, God, it's time. It's time. And the Lord didn't take any exception in that. In fact, in truth, he's actually given that by the Holy Ghost for us to understand something. Because there comes a point where you're so full, and for the psalmist here, he's frustrated with those that have forsaken the law and are causing chaos in the kingdom, or, you know, you could say in the kingdom of God. But it's like a coach that pulls somebody off the bench, and it's the psalmist is pulling God off the bench and saying, okay, it's time for you to hit the field. It's time for you to, okay, God, it's time for you to show up and show off. And it's comical in a certain sense, but it's truth that the psalmist is saying, it's time for you to work, Lord. This is the time. Go to work. And, of course, God knows his seasons, and he knows when it's always time for him to do anything. But he leaves things in the hands of man, in the sense, and especially in New Testament believers, all sovereignty, Dave used to say it like this, is God sovereign? Absolutely. He sovereignly brought Jesus into the world, brought him to the cross, and then the sovereignty, much of the sovereignty of God, was then transferred through the delegation of authority to the church. And now it's not a sense of the word of will God do it, it's will the church stand in God's stead and do it. All sovereignty, the sovereignty of God, has now been given to us. If it's going to happen, we know this, the authority has been given to us. The power comes from him, but the authority is given to us. And so when we say now, in the light of truth, God, it's time to work. Why do we know that? We know that because, one, the Word of God is continually, we've dissected the Word of God now for numerous years leading up to the precipice of this outpouring. Then we've had numerous words from the Holy Spirit, prophetic, present-day speaking words that say, now's the time, press into it, believe me for it. And so for us to say, God, now's the time. It's time, Lord. It's time for you to work. It's time for you to come forth and work. That's pleasing to him. That's not something that is displeasing to him. So it's time for you to work, Lord. Everybody say that. It's time for you, Lord, to work. It's time for you, Lord, to work. Hallelujah. Let's say it one more time. It is time for you, Lord, to work. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. You'll get maybe a little bit more out of it. He said, I am your servant. Give me understanding, discernment, and comprehension that I may know, discern, and be familiar with the character of your testimonies. It's time for the Lord to act. It's time for the Lord to act. They have frustrated your law. And, you know, we've talked about many times, and we even mentioned Sunday, that miracles are the dinner bell for the lost and for the harvest. And much of what we want to get across in this service tonight is to remind you of our call. We are in a, we're in the kingdom. Okay? If I said movement, it would kind of isolate things. If I said the way that we're in, and we understand what we're talking about, the way, but the simplest way to say it is, this is the kingdom. And I'm not saying anybody that's doesn't teach this is out of the kingdom, but the kingdom includes one sovereign truth. Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, stand up and walk? It's the same gospel. There's no difference. None whatsoever. And for us to say, God, it's time, is only to reiterate back to him what he's been saying to us. You know what antiphonal is? It's much of the Psalms are an antiphonal praise. In other words, they were written in a sense of the word that a choir would sing, and then another choir would group of people would sing back to them. They are, there's one psalm, the mercy of the Lord endures forever, and then they sing back to each other. It's kind of an antiphonal praise. And the antiphonal words to God is, God, it is time. Lord, it's time for you to work. It's time for you to stand up. You've been telling us, and you want us to hone in on specific times and not limit you as in space or time, but to that know that you've limited yourself to say, believe me for now. Concentrate. Concentrate is not just think harder, but it is to bring into a concentration. It's to bring something into a concentration or to limit it in a space, in time, and say, that's it. We're going to stand right here, and we're going to receive what the Lord has said we're going to receive. Hallelujah. So the psalmist is saying, okay, God, it's time. And it's funny that a human being would think to say that, but he's not saying that in presumption. He's saying that in the love of God, in the love of Scripture, it's time for you to work, O God. It's time for the Lord to act. They have frustrated your law. Miracles are the dinner bell for the lost. You might say it there, it's the billboard. It really is. Jesus didn't have a media man. I've got a media man. Hallelujah. the church has. But he didn't have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. He didn't have, but he had miracles. And his fame went out as a result of the miracles that were taking place in his ministry. And so that's a big part. I'm not even going to go in. I'm just going to read. We're going to read some scripture here out of the book of Acts. There's so much more that could be said as in relationship to miracles and masses of people. You know, Gary Carpenter does a great study, message. He's done it, incorporated in several of his teachings, where he cites like seven different healing ministry or healing services of Jesus all in one book, the book of Matthew. And he just goes through, and I think there's seven of them. And each one of them, proves that it's God's will and it was Christ's will to heal them all, to heal everyone that was present. But it also reiterates the truth that in those seven different places, there were a lot of people. Many times there was a lot of people. So the miracles produced the masses. They produced the masses when the people saw and the people, and there, Matthew has it like at least seven different ones. And I think he selects that because he stays in one book. So you'll know that they are not duplicates, but they're, you know, they're in a chronological order of the ministry of Christ. But let's look at the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 11. And this is just kind of leading up to something that we want to be involved with, and I want to help your faith as a result of where we're going. Say this again with me, just so we'll stay in one accord. It is time for you, Lord, to work. Okay, so Acts chapter 3, verse 11, and I'll begin there. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter, and you know, this is, I'm not going to go into the first part of it. This is the man at the gate, beautiful, and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why ye look you so earnestly on us, as though we, by our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith, and in his name through faith, or and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know, or I wot, that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now watch this, look at this, when times, everybody say times, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The word time in the Greek is the word kairos or kairos. And it means, according to, I could have given you Strong's, but I'm going to go with Thayer's here, a due measure, a measure of time, a large or smaller portion of time, hence a fixed or definite time. The time when things are brought to crisis, the decisive epoch waited for. Opportune or seasonable time, the right time. A limited period of time, to what time brings, the state of times and the things and events of time. The word refreshings actually is amazing. It's one word used one time where we do get the word revival. And en aps ux is, that's a tongue twister. And that, I don't know if I've even got that close. But it does mean revival. And it means a recovery as a breath that is a reviving or revival. So it's time for you, Lord, to work. Let's also look at Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And verse 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, and multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Now, we're familiar with this because we've read it many times. I love it. It bears repeating. And they laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Amen. They were healed every one. So that's a big part of this, to say that they were healed, every one. But another part that I want you to get is when that was taking place, there was multitudes of people coming in Why? Because everyone was being healed. And so this is the children's bread. I don't come to church, and you don't. You're here for the dinner bell, in the sense of the word, that you're going to come to church or you're going to come to this place, whether you're fighting an infirmity or not. So we know that. But here's the thing. Healing is the children's bread. This is all part of our covenant. And they don't have your family member that's not born again yet. They don't have a covenant. They don't have an agreement. Our covenant, as Dave used to say, our covenant has graduated. It's like we have a covenant, but it's far greater than a covenant, because our covenant has graduated into sonship. We have DNA. They don't have the promises, but they have us. We are their intercessors in the earth. And we can ring the dinner bell for them, and will Jesus heal them? Does he heal them after they're saved? No, he'll heal them before they're saved. And he'll heal them after they're saved. But all he wants to do is to get his power out there on them. And so what we're believing for is that our bread becomes their dinner bell. And what we know, this is this great supper that we have to serve, we're believing God. And what we're doing more than anything else at this time, and this is what we need to get across, is God wants us in our faith towards him, is to isolate this place in time and say, Lord, you know, I'm believing you for it. But now, I say to you, God, now, it's all right for you tomorrow when you're talking to him to say, okay, let's go, Lord. It's time for you to work. You can get off the bench now. It's time. I'm in agreement with you. You've been saying this for a long time, but since you've been waiting on me, I'm saying, Lord, it's time. Go to work. Do you know how much he wants to use all of you and me? Oh my God. This thing is going to be so wonderful. But he's saying now. Now's the time. Hallelujah. Dave Roberson used to say this, and I'm just paraphrasing this, and of course you'll understand it. You've probably heard him say it. If not, it'll bear witness, because you have this truth inside of you. He said there was no such thing as a calendar time that God sovereignly chooses to pour out his spirit. Times and dates are released through the culmination of intercessory prayer. In other words, God doesn't like look through his calendar and say, you know what, let's see. Just for the mystery, just for the purpose of mystery, and nobody can figure me out, let's see, I'm going to do it on that date. I'm just going to surprise people, pour out my spirit, and bam, it's going to be like, wow, who knows? You know, who knows? God does deal in specific times. And you can believe him for a limitation in time, but it's the culmination of authority that brings that particular time into effect. God will pronounce from heaven, I'm about to do something. If you want to be in on this, get ready and claim it and limit it for a particular season. But it's not because I just chose some kind of calendar date. Let's see. Holy Spirit, what do you think about that? Jesus, okay, what do you think about this? I think it would be a better surprise if we did it on that date, you know. No. God's up in heaven, and he's like, I'm needing authority. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on, somebody. And then somebody starts saying, okay, God, it's time for you to get off the bench. It's time. And he goes, okay, that's what I've needed. I've needed some authority to move in and to birth this thing in the earth. Hallelujah. Is this making sense to anybody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's look at Acts chapter 9. And this is Peter again. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, that he came down down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man, Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Everybody, what was the calling card? What was the dinner bell? You know, miracles. There's really sometimes, now there's, you can't ever take away from the authority of God's word, but there's sometimes where miracles will outrun and outreach the preaching of God's word. Stuff that you can't get done, like if you call people to a preaching, we're going to have a preaching crusade, they may not come, but you get some miracles take place, they will show up. They will show up. And so we see this by the word of God, that these cities, these two cities, absolutely turned out to God, got born again because of the miracle of this man's healing. Verse 36 says, and there, we'll just continue on here for just a bit, was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Inasmuch as Lydda was nigh unto Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went to them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now listen, I'm telling you, if we stay on this walk, there's many of you in this room that are you're going to raise the dead. Well, that's good. But here's the thing. To raise the dead, you realize that something bad happened, right? The dead, somebody died if they're dead. And there's a lot of sadness, a lot of, yeah. But if you... I'm just excited. I'm excited about, and I'm just thinking about something that just, some of you may have seen this. I wish I had more detail on it. But Amber was, my daughter Amber, she was sharing with me, she's, Dad, did you see this? And I said, no, I guess it was on some social media this past week. Did you see the Hispanic fella in Texas that raised the lady from the dead? Have you seen that? Did it just happen? So it was on, no, it was on, I think they had him on the Fox Good Morning show, that early show. Well, some lady, just the past few days, I mean like this past week, she was in her car going down the road. She had two little kids with her. One was like 10 or 11, and the other was, I think, smaller. Something happened where she went off the road, hit the guardrail, and went into a canal. And the water was like deep enough, it was coming up in the car, but you know, you could get out, and the two kids got out, and she could have, but she hit her head on the steering wheel and was got knocked out. So they're there and they're trying to help their mom, and then the seatbelt is like stuck. They can't get her out. And, you know, the kids, you know, they're doing what, they're just a mess, I guess. And then this man pulls up, and he's a Hispanic pastor. And he said, when I got out of the car, Amber said he was, you know, he was a really intelligent guy and a well talker. You could tell that he presents himself in the public a lot. He said, when I got out of the car, the Holy Spirit said to me, this is a divine moment. And he said, I didn't know what's going on. And he said, these little kids ran, my mom's down in the car. Well, he said, I got down in there, and she was unconscious, and I tried to help her. And, I was trying to get the seatbelt. I couldn't get it, and the water just kept coming up. And he said, there was nothing I could do. I finally told the oldest one that was like 11 or 12. He said, he unlocked his phone and said, call 911, try to get somebody here, and I'll stay with your mom. So he got down there, and all he could do was try to hold her head up above the rising water, and he couldn't get her out. And so it finally came in so much that she just submerged. Well, he's like, and then the paramedics get there, and they're getting her out, and he's like, what? Why? I don't understand this. I do not understand this, God. You told me, I don't understand. If I'm here for a purpose, I didn't. And so they get her out, and they're working with her, and they're trying to bring her back, and he hears one of them say, she's pretty much gone. There's nothing else can do. And he's like, God, what? Why did you tell me? And so he I guess out of frustration or whatever, and he's telling this on national news. He said, I got down and I said, I just got on, I put my hands on, I said, in the name of Jesus, wake up. And he said, at that moment, she just began to vomit up. And they got life again. Glory to God. They took her in. She was still, having some challenges. They're trying to wake her up, but they said they did a brain analysis, and she has no brain damage. 100%. What a miracle. Glory to God. Now, what I'm saying to that is this. Some people say, "Woo, I'm going to raise the dead." Raising the dead is in chaotic situations. It's not like you just walk in, like it's everybody, everybody's... It's not calm and everybody's like having tea and cheeseburgers and like, yeah, there's a. Somebody called me about a year ago. This is kind of comical, but she's in heaven. But they called me and I didn't. They called me over to their house. And they said, would you come pray for mama? And I said, well, sure. But I didn't know them too much. Well, I get there, and there's a Hispanic family. They're out on the front porch, and there's a bunch of them. They're just all, they're all lined up, and they're sitting there. And Mama's laying right there, but she's sleeping, as far as I know. And I'm like, okay. And I'm listening to them. Well, she's been going through all this and stuff. And I said, okay. And I'm getting ready to slip over there and lay my hands on her. And then one of them, the daughter or somebody, said, yeah, Mama died last night, but she's with the Lord. And I'm like, oops. Now, I didn't have any inclination to try to raise her up. But sometimes it's good to know if they're alive or dead before you. What am I praying for? I was going to pray that she'd just come through it, and she was already in heaven about 24 hours. So I was like, okay, I'll just... Where were we at? What verse was we at? 41. And he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. See, they just gathered people together. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. And then Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it says it came to pass that while Apollos, now this is about Paul, was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John truly, or verily, baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, he spake spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued about the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jew and Greeks. Now, this is all part of this. It's all Asia. It doesn't mean everybody in Asia heard, but it was saturated Asia, what was happening there in where Paul was at. In verse 11 says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Hallelujah. We're going to look at about a 15-minute, and I'm going to call it, it's good, everything that Dutch is saying, but it's more of a advertisement for something that I absolutely know, that God is asking us to be a part of. So I'm going to ask you to watch this. I've known about it for a few months, and I never, ever, but God just got a hold of me today and said, I want you to do this, and I want you to invite the people to be a part of this. So give it a listen. You'll enjoy this. We've heard from Dutch Sheets before, but this is something that's coming up in the very near future, within 1 week from this coming Friday night. And I believe, and I'll say more about it, and we'll have time for me to say just a few more words after this is over. So, amen. So the guys are going to get this, and thanks a lot. I appreciate that. We're still here. Can you see me in the dark? Technicals.
Day four.
Here we go.
Give him 15.
Now, if we can just see.
I received an encouraging word from Larry Sparks, a revivalist and publisher with Destiny Image, regarding the upcoming Healing Summit in Middletown, Ohio. He believes it's part of Holy Spirit's plan to release sudden outpourings throughout the world. Larry graciously agreed to write an entire article communicating the revelation he was receiving. You will enjoy it. Larry's title, Multiplied Miracles, Mantles, and Outpourings. He says these three words, space, setups, and suddenlies, speak of what we are entering this fall in the Spirit. When we give the Holy Spirit space to do whatever he wants, we're being set up to experience suddenly outpourings of God's presence and power. Coming up, he says, is a significant event that is giving space for the Holy Spirit to move, and will serve as a setup for both America and the nations to experience suddenly outbreaks of Holy Spirit. On August 30th, Tim Sheets is hosting a one-night healing summit at Oasis Church in Middletown, Ohio. I've had a strong sense of expectation that the Lord is going to use this night as a forerunner gathering, and have been praying almost daily for it. Now, Larry's not a part of the team ministering there that night. He's just been gripped by this. He says, I've been praying almost daily for this. It's a pioneering meeting meant to break something open and, like a domino effect, spiritually shift the nations. I believe the meeting will serve as a prophetic prototype for what's possible in the days ahead. It is not just for the Oasis Church. There's a fresh and growing expectation that as we gather together in one accord, He will come. I'm convinced that as we give the Spirit more space, as Tim is doing, we will witness more results, specifically the following three supernatural effects. Effect one, multiplied notable miracles. Notable miracles is a phrase that has captured my attention, Larry says. Early in the book of Acts, we see how a single notable miracle, the lame man outside the gate, beautiful, captured the attention of the onlooking world, Acts 3. Yes, it caused controversy and division, but above all, it pointed people to the undeniable reality of the risen Messiah. It's time to once again create spaces for the Holy Spirit to move in miracle-working power. This is heaven's timeless response to doctrines of demons such as humanism, atheism, and the vain philosophies of a postmodern, post-Christian era. Amen, Larry, and I would add, there is no game changer like a miracle. He says, I believe this healing summit, this is a powerful statement, I believe this healing summit is going to be like a shovel that digs through and hits a bubbling spring of healing miracles. Our nation is desperate to witness an authentic, pure demonstration of the miraculous. Not hype, not smoke and mirrors. We're crying out for undeniable displays of God's power, causing people to fall on their faces and cry out to God. Effect number two, multiplied miracle mantles released. He says, leaders, fathers and mothers, if your eyes have seen the miracles of God and your hands have released the supernatural power of the Spirit, it's time for you to freely give what you have freely received. I see a multiplication of miracle mantles being released through the laying on of hands. Every follower of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, has in their hands miracle-working power. Being used to release miracles is not reserved for the platform minister. Certainly, God has raised up notable vessels for miracles in times past, such as Catherine Kuhlman, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth. But the same Spirit inside Wigglesworth, Kuhlman, and Lake is in each of us. Take it a step further, he says. The same Holy Spirit that saturated Peter so that his shadow brought healing and deliverance is in us, Acts 5. The same Spirit of power that saturated Paul and caused articles of his clothing that he wore while making tents to release extraordinary miracles also lives in us. Yes, he says, I'm impressed by the healings and deliverances that took place because of Peter's shadow and Paul's clothing. But I'm more provoked by the truth that it's possible to be that saturated by the Holy Spirit. Every believer, he says, contains Holy Spirit's power. I also believe that the elementary doctrine of the laying on of hands, Hebrews 6:2, is a powerful way we catalyze believers to step into a whole new dimension and demonstrate this miraculous flow. This is what I see happening at the Oasis Healing Summit and other gatherings of the like. I see spiritual leaders, mothers and fathers who have been used as catalysts for the miraculous, laying their hands on every believer hungry to be used by God in this supernatural capacity, causing a mighty release of multiplied miracle anointings. Effect number three, he says, outpourings that transform territories. In Acts 9, 32 to 35, a paralyzed man was healed. I believe this is a significant portion of scripture for the healing summit and for every single believer burning to see God-given regional transformation at levels we've not yet experienced. God-given regional transformation. He says, with good intentions, we've tried using the greatest hits of our church growth handbooks. We've experimented with Christian gimmicks and spiritual entertainment of all sorts, motivated by an often genuine desire to bring the maximum amount of people to Jesus. The results, unfortunately, have been minimal. God is good, and we'll work through some of these methods because he desires to see people born again and transformed. But why settle for a trickle of Holy Spirit activity when we can experience a mighty rushing river? This passage in Acts 9, 32 to 35, speaks of a notable miracle where a bedridden, paralyzed man named Aeneas is miraculously healed. Admittedly, he says, I often camp out on the more explosive parts of the story, the amazing miracle of this paralyzed man being healed, or the powerful decree that Peter made, which released the healing, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you, or the drama of it being instant and overt. Immediately, he got up. For too long, Larry says, I focused exclusively on the miracle of Aeneas's healing, and not on the fruit it produced. The final verse of the passage was recently burned into my heart when I considered what Aeneas's miracle, healing miracle, catalyzed territorially. So all, this is a quote from scripture, so all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. All who lived in two entire territories saw the man who received a notable miracle and did what? Turned to the Lord. Here are a few things to remember, Larry says, as we pursue the miraculous. Number one, don't be ashamed of pursuing miracles, making space for God's supernatural power to manifest or operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Two, don't be discouraged by religious voices that say, pursuing miracles is chasing God's hand. We're supposed to be pursuing his face. Time after time, throughout the Psalms, we see the interconnectedness between the nature of God, his face, and the works of God, his hands. His miracles reveal who he is. Thirdly, finally, we must not discount the miraculous as secondary, trivial, or unimportant. The very thing that causes some of the unnecessary controversy in Christianity today, signs, wonders, and miracles, is what has the potential to cause the greatest regional and territorial revival. Where our noble efforts have failed in securing territorial kingdom transformation, notable miracles performed by the hands of everyday believers, both young and old, will be catalysts for this level of supernatural breakthrough. Miracles performed in our church sanctuaries, in the marketplace, at high school lockers and in college dorm rooms, at sporting events and in the local grocery store. Miracles that provoke. Miracles that confront. miracles that cause once skeptical agnostics to fall on their faces, crying out to the Lord. Miracles that stir a commotion in regions, placing a demand on the local churches to host more gatherings, preach more truth, and be ready to receive far more conversions. Make more space for Holy Spirit to move miraculously. When you give Him space to move, you're creating setups for God to release suddenly outpourings. And remember, suddenlies have been known to release Day of Pentecost sounds over territories. Sounds that draw in the multitudes and cause thousands to be born again. Amen. Let's pray with Larry. Lord, we give you space in our lives to do whatever you want. Cause us to recognize and step into your divine setups so we can experience suddenly outpourings of your Spirit in our lives. We ask that every believer will be used to release miracles, signs, wonders. We ask that miracles be demonstrated in the name of Jesus to break open entire cities, regions, even nations for the gospel. Lord, use each one. We stir up your anointing in us and cause us to be so saturated with Holy Spirit that we would be demonstrators of your gospel through miracles and healings. And our decree, we decree that notable miracles are breaking out in America and across the nations, causing entire territories to be saved and transformed by the power of God. Amen. Amen. Well, today's post contributed by our friend Larry Sparks, publisher with Destiny Image. You can find out more about Larry, including his great book, Pentecostal Fire, at LarrySparksMinistries.com. Thank you, Larry. And don't forget about the gathering, August 30th. You can watch it online. It's full, but you can watch it online. Almost 500 churches have now signed up to join with us that night through the live stream. They will be laying hands on the sick. When we move into that portion of the service, they won't just listen to us pray. They'll be activating and laying hands on people. Should be up, it's close to 500 last I heard, and quite a few, several churches internationally, even with the time change and so forth. So don't forget, August 30th. Thanks for joining us today. See you tomorrow.
Hallelujah. So I heard the Lord today specifically, and then I kind of said, Lord, I walked away from it a little bit to just to make sure, and I came back, and he wouldn't let me get out of it, and I didn't want to get out of it. I want to hear what he has to say. So we're going to be one of the registered churches. You have to register with them, and Harry's going to do that for us tomorrow, and we will show that live, and that won't be this Friday night, but it'll be the following Friday night, August the 30th. And I'm asking you to come, unless you've already made previous plans to be someplace on that Friday night. And then I'll be making this announcement Sunday and next Wednesday as well. And I'm just asking the church to turn out. I know you can probably watch it at home. It's free. but they're asking churches to gather. They're actually registering the churches. And something I saw on one of the, I guess it might have been on Tim's website. I'm not sure because I looked at a couple concerning this. Healing Summit is what it's called, and it's at the Oasis Church. And so all the churches, they're registering. So I just started, and they started Alaska, go through the alphabet. So all those churches, they're registering so that people can go online and say, is there any place locally where they're going to be praying for sick this particular night? So I'm asking as many of the elders or many of the people to come, and you know, we may not have anybody. We may have several people that saw that and saw that Family Prayer Center in Mockley is going to be one of those satellite churches. But I just know that I heard from God that we're supposed to be a part of it. So it'll be from 7 o'clock to 9:30 on that Friday night, a week from this coming Friday night. And, of course, as he said, we'll have an opportunity to minister to the sick. And if there's nobody, I mean, we'll pray for anybody here that's, you know, that needs prayer. But let's begin to pray about this. I'm going to have Harry send out a couple of texts on this. So, and remember that, Harry, that I want you to send out some text on this. And so just to remind people, and, you know, Smith Wigglesworth, and I'll close with this. I believe he was speaking with Lester Summerall, but you've heard this said probably before, but if you haven't heard, you know, he was talking about that what he saw in the spirit, and he saw prophetically that in the last days that there would be a third great awakening. And he said, I'm not going to be here for it. I won't live quite long enough for it. But he actually said, I see, and I'm not going to get all this right, but he talked about the different movements that he saw. He saw the healing. I saw a healing revival, and that was the healing revival of like in the 40s, 50s. And then he said, I see another great move of God coming after that. And it's the outpouring of, I believe it was Holy, it might have been the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, there was, he said, I see masses being filled with the Holy Spirit. So there was, you know, during those days, the charismatic movement where people were filled with the Holy Ghost all across the nation, Catholics at Notre Dame. And then he said, I see people, I believe another one was, I see a wave come where people, I see them with notebooks, and they're like people that's sitting in churches, and they have their, and they're just fastened, you know, fastened on to being taught. And so that the great teaching, you know, the season where God rose up great teachers of the word, and we saw that for decades. But the bottom line is this. He said, I see one that is greater than all of them, and it's a culmination. And it's like the great awakening. It's the last great awakening. This one, he said, I see it'll have presence and power and everything that all of them, it was a culmination of everything put together, and it'll be the one that exists and takes the church all the way in to the second coming of Christ. And so I believe that we're in that time. And so I'm asking you to participate, be in prayer. I don't know all. There's like six speakers. I know Dutch. I've followed him for a couple of years as far as listening. I like him. I haven't found any real exceptions at all. And Tim, I believe, is a really good man. That's his brother. There's four other speakers that I don't know. Somebody said, well, what if they teach a little bit of something that we're, you'll be all right. Okay, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. If they say something that we just, you know, normally don't teach around here, you're going to be okay. So, but I know that I heard from God on us being a part of this. So, hallelujah. Did you have a good time tonight? Amen. So I invited you, and you're invited to be a part of that Friday night. Let's all stand together. Thank you for being a part. We love you, family, out there and streaming. You're such a vital part. If you have something to give tonight, there's an offering basket at the back door, and we thank you for your blessing. Father, we bless, Lord, our expectation is on you, and we thank you that it's time. We say to God, it's time for you, Lord. It's time for you. You've placed this in our heart. It's time for you to move. And we just take part in that time for you to move. We bless this opportunity to give, and we commit ourselves unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'll see you Sunday, and all of you through the camera, I'll see you Sunday.